Amen.
Amen. All God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Evelyn. I called her. She called me back fine. She was at the dentist, and so I was going to ask her to play, and then I made the schedule out, and she called me back, and I said, Evelyn, would you sing Sunday morning? That's the response I got right there. She just started laughing. So I knew she wasn't going to sing. So this morning, I want to have a message of encouragement to you. I'm so thankful that even though we live in very discouraging days, that you can be discouraged or encouraged this morning if you're a Christian. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote this book, and he wrote these words. Paul had some Jewish people that wanted to kill him. He had some Gentile people that wanted to kill him. Back in Paul's day, when you traveled, when you went from city to city, it was very dangerous. There were thieves and robbers that wanted to take your possessions. They wanted to kill you. He had illness to face. He had difficulties with just being a Christian. And so he had a lot against him. And yet Paul writes 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for the believer this morning, and it was what kept him going, what kept him from quitting. Now, there's maybe some of you this morning, you feel like, you know, I'm just going to throw in the towel. No, don't throw in the towel, all right? I'm so thankful as a believer, the best is yet to come. And I'm thankful for that. Even though it's hard right now, it won't be hard in the future. God said that He will take care of all of our problems. And I'm thankful for that. Life is hard. I was talking about the food bank ministry, and Brandon would give the person food. He'd go down and get them food, and then he'd have them come into my office, fill out a clipboard, and they didn't realize that I would be witnessing to them. And I'm not kidding. Every person I asked if life was hard, they would say it was really hard. Every person has a trial. When I talk to people, and after you get to know them a little bit, they have a trial. Everybody has a trial. And maybe you have more than one trial. Paul had all kinds of trials. In Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, Paul gives a list of sins. The same list is almost identical in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. And what Paul was saying is that these sins would not be just evident in the last days, but these sins would be not just outside the church, but they would come into the church. The Bible says that men would be lovers of their own selves. Now, how many of you this morning, by uplifting hand, believe that Jesus is coming soon? Would you raise your hand? All right, got both hands up, all right? Wow. Someone texted me yesterday and wanted to know about this new peace process that's going on with Israel. Folks, Jesus is coming. We're seeing Bible prophecy unfold right in front of our eyes. It ought to get our attention. Less than 90 days, there's going to be another election. And tonight, we're going to spend some time praying for America. I believe that America needs prayer. In James chapter 5, James tells the believers then, he said, be patient one with another. Now, I understand, as things are difficult, that it's easy to take it out on one another. And the Bible says, grudge not one against another, but be patient, because he says, the judge standeth at the door. Now, I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful that God knows all the facts? Amen? And I'm thankful that He has everything right. And we only hear parts, and we think it's true. But God knows the whole story, and I'm thankful for that. Grudge not one against another. Why do we think that we ought to judge someone for their sin when they sin differently than we do? If we don't like it, we get all upset. Folks, we understand this. Jesus is coming. I heard yesterday a guy that was talking about military men that go into special forces. They'll have 300 men that will sign up for these special forces. The first day they sign up, there are 6 hours of hand-to-hand combat. Then they take a break, During that break, they have to run through an obstacle course. Then they have some more hand-to-hand combat. And then they put them in ice-cold water. And then they make them run again. And then they let them go back and sleep for 3 hours and get them up and do the whole thing all over again. Out of the 300 men, 60% quit. Now, just listening to it, I'm thinking, I quit. All right, there's no way. And they interviewed some of these men that did not quit, and they wanted to know, what was it that motivated them not to quit? And almost every man said this: what I did, I blocked out the pain. I blocked out the difficulty of the moment, and I thought about that prize of being on the special forces. That's what Paul did. That's difficult. If you could block out the difficulty right now and the valleys right now and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Lord has in store for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us the self same thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of this Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I need your help this morning. I pray for every person in this auditorium. Lord, I cannot change a heart. I cannot convict anyone. Lord, that's your job. And I pray that your Spirit would have free rein this morning to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Lord, we live in a very difficult time, unusual time. But Lord, I pray that this message would be an encouragement. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All of us this morning would love to know the future. Wouldn't you love to know what's going to happen in the future? That'd be great. I would love to know when Jesus Christ is coming. Man, I would be wealthy. I'd write books and send out videos, and you would too. You would love to know when Jesus Christ is coming. We don't know that. I would love to know who will be our next president, and so would you. I would love to know if the stock market will go up or down, and I'd be a wealthy man if I knew that, and we live in very uncertain days. I would love to know what will happen in the future, and the coronavirus has caused many things to be unpredictable, because we don't know. I don't know what will change tomorrow. I don't know what will happen. I know my Dr. R, he is the vice president of West Coast, and he sends out a text every Saturday, and he said, praise the Lord, we're meeting in the church building tomorrow, and it's supposed to be 108 degrees. I said, praise the Lord for that. You know, I don't know what will happen with the coronavirus. I don't know. Things change. But I am certain of this, that Jesus is coming. And I know this for a fact because God tells us, and when God says something, he doesn't lie. I know this, that if you're saved, you will get a glorified body. I was reading through this passage Tuesday. It was August the 4th, and I was in my office by myself, and I heard a large truck pull up, and I heard the engine. And the first thing I'm thinking was, I hope it's not a semi on our new parking lot. And I waited a few minutes, and the front door opened. I didn't know if someone just pulled in just to get a break, and maybe they're looking for directions. And I heard the front door open, and I heard a dolly, and then I heard some man go, I got something for you. So I yelled back and said, I got something for you too. So he said, where did I put the boxes? And I said, just put them out in the hallway. Brandon can get them later, and he can put them wherever he wants. And they were the shades or blinds. And so he did come into the office, and he said, you got something for me? And I thought, wow, he's probably wanting money. So I gave him one of my tracks, and I could tell you immediately it wasn't a UPS man. He didn't have brown on, and he paused to read the track. I mean, use the UPS man, they just take it, they run, okay? I mean, they got to get to that next stop. And he read the track, and I said, sir, I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He says, I hope so. Now, I want you to understand this morning, it's not a hope or I think so. It's a no-so for believers. There's a big difference. And so he just stood there, and so I went through the plan of salvation. And I asked him his name. His name was Mario, and I've never had this happen before with a truck driver because usually they got to get to their next delivery. And I asked him if he'd like to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he said yes. When he left, he thanked me over and over and over again. I know this, his last delivery will be to heaven. That's how important this doctrine is. If you're taking notes this morning, we have confidence of the Christian's future home. We have confidence of the Christian's future home. Right now, if you're discouraged, it's because of something on this earth. It's something that has discouraged you. Paul writes, for we know. He says, for we know. He didn't say, I hope so. I think so. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. All right, understand what Paul is saying. I realize that my body's falling apart. That's what Paul was saying. But I know this, that someday I will get a glorified body that will last for all eternity. Amen? So this morning we can be encouraged. God does not lie in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I can count on from Genesis to the book of Revelation, whatever I read, I can count on it is the truth. Because God cannot lie. He will not lie. He is a holy God. And I'm thankful that He encouraged us through His Word. Years ago, I think I was in the second grade, our teacher was amazed by our good conduct. It was a Tuesday. And she said, because everybody has good conduct, I'm going to give every person in this class a candy bar on Friday. Well, Wednesday went by, and Thursday, it was terrible. That was probably the worst day of the year. I mean, kids were getting up and talking and walking around, and she got upset. She said, so much for the candy bar, you're not going to get one tomorrow. I'm thinking, she promised us a candy bar no matter what. You know what? I am thankful that God's promises aren't built upon our behavior. He didn't say, I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you a new body if you live for me. We would all be in trouble. G.I. Packard said that most Christians are not ready for eternity. Most Christians are not thinking about eternity. It's difficult. When we live in this present world, we try to keep up with the Joneses, and we don't realize that the Joneses are in debt, but we try to keep up with our neighbor. And those things do not satisfy. Paul realized there was a glorified body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that means dying. Or when I look at somebody in a casket, their body has been dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Remember, Paul was a tent maker by trade. So he's comparing this body to a tent. Now, I don't know about you,
But I'm not a fan of tent camping, all right? How many are? Would you raise your hand and see how many I'm offending? Okay, my wife raised her hand. Okay, we got two there, all right. Okay, my wife had some great memories growing up about tent camping. And she said, we ought to go tent camping. So the first time we were in the Smoky Mountains, and we went to this motel, and it was one of those private-owned hotels, motels, and I said, may I see a room? And so they showed me a room right next to the old motel office. It was clean. It was nice. But they gave us a different room. And my wife, after about 10 minutes, says, Bob, I can't sleep here. It's too smoky in this room. I said, but we already paid. She said, I don't care. I can't sleep in this room. I said, okay, I'll go down to the office and tell them. And I told them, they said, well, you already paid. You know, we're not giving your money back. Too bad. I said, wow. And so we went tent camping. And guess what? It rained. And guess what? They lie when they say those tents don't leak unless you touch the side. It was leaking like crazy. I'm thinking, okay, we should have just stayed in that smoky room. I could have bought her a clothespin. Another time we went tent camping was in Turkey Run State Park. And we had an air mattress. And I'm thinking, this is wonderful. This is great. The problem was my air mattress had a leak. And my head is on a rock. And I'm like, this is not good. And then my wife says, Bob, there's some animals taking our breakfast. I said, okay. So I shined the light out and I saw three sets of eyes. I didn't know how big the body was behind those eyes. And I thought, you know, she said, Bob, those are our donuts. I said, I don't care. They can have the donuts. All right. I'm not going to, they're raccoons. Somehow they got in our containers and ate our breakfast. I like tent camping. The best part of tent camping is when you say, all right, it's time to go home. That's the best part. It makes you miss your house. It makes you miss your room. And it makes you miss your bathroom and the air conditioning. Well, what Paul was saying, this body is falling apart. You want to know how to find out if you're getting old? It's when most of your dreams are reruns. It's when you lose your glasses and you're looking all over the house and you can't find them, and then you ask a family member and they said they're on top of your head. It's when you start getting wrinkles and it takes longer to rest up than it does to get tired. We all know we're getting old. And Paul said, this body is getting old. He compares it to a tabernacle or to a tent. There's been on several occasions that my wife and I, we went to a campground, and she said, let's just drive around. I never once did I say, wow, look at that great-looking camp or that great-looking tent. I never said that. And the RVs I have. I'm thinking, that's roughing it. Man, look at that RV. Side outs, you know, and they got the antenna, you know, the dish, and I'm like, wow, that doesn't sound like roughing it. Tents are feeble. Tents are thin. I'm thinking many times, if a bear wanted to get me, it could get me. Believe me, that little piece of material isn't going to protect me. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So no matter what Paul went through when he was in prison, no matter if people were trying to kill him, someone would say whatever city Paul went to, there was a riot or revival. Paul said this, I know someday I will get a glorified body. Now, the Bible's not clear on when that body comes. I believe it comes at the rapture. And the Bible's not clear about what kind of body you have if you died today and before the rapture. I believe you'll have some kind of body. But we'll have a glorified body at the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 2. In verse 2, it's for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now, there's two interpretations of that groaning. Maybe you groaned this morning when you got out of bed. But, oh. I was talking to Brandon. Brandon went golfing for the first time in several years, and he said he's sore all over. I said, that's what you get for getting out of shape. He said, thanks for the mercy and compassion there. But folks, you can't do the things you used to. Your mind tells you to do something, and your body says, I can't. And there's that sense of the groaning. And we groan because of sin. Why do we let God down? Why do we allow our tongues to get us in trouble? Why do we think the wrong things? Why do we put everything else before God? Why? There's that groaning. But there's also another groaning too. And I believe that's what Paul is referring to here. He groaned to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's one thing to have pictures and FaceTime and videos of your grandkids, but it's completely different when they're on your lap. And Rebecca got a flight for $45 because of the coronavirus, and she brought her kids out and got to spend some time with them. There's nothing like it. I can watch them on a FaceTime, and I can watch some videos of them. But there's nothing like being with them in person. And that's what Paul is saying. I groan because I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. My question this morning, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ that much that you miss Him? Or are you just thankful for all the benefits? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have eternal life. I have joy. I have peace. I can understand the Word of God. Are you thankful for the person that gives you all those gifts? I am thankful that Jesus Christ is so different than we are. Because when we attack somebody, they stop being nice to us. God is not that way. God gives and gives and gives and gives. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 5:3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Paul said, I know this, when I get to heaven, I will have a body. And he was looking forward to that body that he would get. And so Paul was confident of the Christian's future home. All of us will receive a body. Now understand this. God says He'll save us. He saved us from our sins. The body is important, what you do with the body. It's not your body. It's God's body. What you listen to, what you read, what you say with God's mouth, what you think about, it's God's body, and He will hold you accountable for it. Secondly, there's confident of the Christian's final home. Folks, this will happen. Not maybe it will happen. This will happen. Verse 6, therefore, we are always confident. I love that. No matter what happens, the good days and the bad days, when you're on the mountaintop, when you're in the valley, always this is true. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's what Paul was saying. I'm away from God. Can you see His love for Jesus Christ? Why is it in the church that we magnify standards over the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we would want standards. We would want to be separated. But why is it that some people grow up in Christian homes and they completely get rid of the standards and they get rid of Jesus Christ too? It's because they never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have a relationship with the Lord. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, saying, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So what Paul was saying, I realize That if I'm away from Christ, that I'm in this body. But when I'm absent from this body, I am in the presence of the Lord. That is why this earth will not satisfy. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how many possessions you own. This world does not satisfy. Because you were not designed for this earth. Do you ever feel like, boy, I feel out of place? Especially after watching the news, you know, I feel out of place. Because you are out of place. Your real home is in heaven. For all eternity. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul writes, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." You see, heaven was not a simple destination for the Apostle Paul. It was a motivation. It motivated him daily. When he'd get up in the morning and it was a difficult day and he realized that he was chained to a Roman soldier, he's thinking to himself, it's not going to be this way always. I'm going to get a future body and it will be the final body. This body is not perfect, but the body that I will receive will be perfect. Now, it's interesting that Paul doesn't say a lot about heaven. John does in the book of Revelation. But Paul talks about going to heaven. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm looking for that day. I know you are too. But notice in verse 7, Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." He said, therefore, in verse 1. I believe Paul was referring back to chapter 4 in verse 18. When Paul says, we don't live for the things that we see, but we live for the things that are unseen. Because the things that are seen are temporal. But the things we don't see are eternal. So he says we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Now what does that mean? In a practical way, it means that I need to believe the Word of God. If God said it, it's right. If He tells me to pray, I need to pray. If He tells me to love my brother, I need to love my brother. If He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He will repay. It also means that I need to accept and embrace His sovereignty. Romans 8:28 applies to every believer here this morning. God is doing a work in all of our hearts. We may not like the way that He is doing the work, but He's still doing the work. By the time whatever comes in down your path reaches you, it has already gone through the sovereign hand of God. And I'm thankful for that. Because God is good, God is perfect, and God loves us. So what does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? Why did Paul say we need to walk by faith? Because it's natural for us all to walk by sight. We look around and we see things and we just live for those things. And Paul said, no, don't do that. You're going to spend all eternity in heaven. That's why the Bible says, don't set up treasures on this earth. Because you're not taking it with you. But set up treasures in heaven. If we all believe Jesus is coming soon, we better get our eyes focused on eternity. We better understand Jesus is trying to get our attention. And I believe that Satan is really, really fighting. I had the privilege of speaking in a church, the Bible Baptist Church in Bloomington, a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night. Pastor's wife said this to my wife.
Her husband had cancer. And she said, dealing with people in the church has been more difficult than my husband going through the cancer. I hear that from all kinds of pastors. Without realizing, Satan can use us. And folks, we need to understand this. The time is short. Jesus is coming. If there ever should be unity, it ought to be now. If we should be going in the same direction, it ought to be now. And if you're not going in the same direction, you better check your heart. Because there's a God in heaven that we'll all stand before someday. And next Sunday I'll be preaching about the judgment seat of Christ. Because it motivated the Apostle Paul. Paul said, we walk not by sight, but by faith. All of us will give an account someday to God. I don't think we believe that. We live our lives like we're not going to have to give an account. You will have to give an account for how you treated other people. Every one of us will. Very clear. When God says that, He means it. There was a Christian man that was going through all kinds of trials. He felt like there were too many trials. He was kind of wondering what God was doing in his life. So he told his wife, he said, honey, I just need to go for a walk. And so he went for a walk. And he went from one street to another. And as he was walking, he walked by a construction site. And there was a worker that had a chisel, and he was chiseling a piece of stone. And so this man, kind of discouraged, overwhelmed with his problems, decided to stop. And he noticed it was an old church building they were working on, and there was a chimney they were working on, and a steeple. And he said to the worker, he said, why do you spend so much time on that stone? The worker was polite, and he said, well, and he pointed up to the steeple, and he said, I'm shaping it down here so it will fit in up there. Sometimes you wonder, what is God doing? He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And He can take very difficult situations and bring good out of it. That's walking by faith and not by sight. I don't know where you are in your Christian walk, but I do know this. The coronavirus has caused people to attack one another because they're hurting. And I believe the coronavirus, instead of bringing it closer to God, has caused people to go farther away from God. Jesus is coming. You will get a glorified body. And just because it's hard today does not mean it'll be hard in the future. As the songwriter said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Our trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase when you see Christ. Folks, I don't know what you're facing. It might be financial problems. It might be family problems. It might be health issues. This message is for you this morning. Because if you're saved, you will get a glorified body someday that will last for eternity. Are we walking by faith? Are we walking by sight? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.